This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast featuring Pastor Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program. Today's message is so special that I don't even have a title for it. But I really urge you to stay with us for the next 30 minutes of this broadcast because Pastor Phipps has a message for us that I know will have a tremendous and immediate impact on your life. You won't want to miss it, so stay tuned to the More Abundant Life. As we usually do, we have some music for you, music that's going to prepare us to receive the message for today. This special song is entitled Eternal Life.
To eternal ask that you cleanse my life and mind of all unrighteousness. Fill my life with your Holy Spirit's presence and power. And use me for your glory alone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Somewhere I heard that sermonettes make Christianettes. It's been a long day, but I believe that if we just follow the Lord's leading, we'll be all right. Amen. Amen. Dr. Wilbur Chapman, a very famous evangelist, said that the New Testament records 40 people who suffered from the same disease who were healed by Jesus. Of this number 40, 34 were either brought to Jesus by friends or he was taken to them by friends. Have mercy. Friends play an important role in coming to Jesus. In only 6 cases out of 40 did those who suffered find their way to Jesus without assistance, without help. But this morning, I want to tell you about one man. Early one Sabbath morning, while a multitude of worshipers were headed for the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus was walking the streets of the city. Early Sabbath morning. His mind in deep meditation, his heart in earnest prayer. He passed the sheep market and came upon a pool known in the Hebrew tongue as Bethesda. Now the name Bethesda means house of mercy. And there were many who sought God's mercy beneath Bethesda's covered porches. According to the scriptures, around the pool lay a great multitude of impotent folk. The blind were there. The halt, that's an old English term for the crippled, were there. The withered, the lame, all were camping there, hoping to find healing when the waters were troubled at Bethesda's pool. But on this Sabbath morning, as Jesus came upon the pool, his heart was moved to compassion. Before him was a pitiful portrait of our humanity. Instinctively, Jesus began threading his way through this gathering of broken wills and spirits. And as he moved through the crowd, his eyes scanned with pity every pathetic and troubled face. Brothers and sisters, what must it have been like to be at that pool and to look up and look into the eyes of Christ? Those eyes that shone like searchlights in the dark of night. Those eyes that shone like the glow of fire in the darkness, those eyes that shone warm as summer and as tender as night, those eyes that shone brighter than any hope in any star. Imagine what it must have been like to look up and look into the very eyes of Christ. Servant of the Lord, I love, she says about his eyes, that humility marked every glance of the eyes of Christ. In other words, whenever he shifted his eyes, there was an explosion of humility. Awesome to look into the eyes of Christ. in the midst of this crowd of suffering people, one man in his miserable condition caught the eyes of Jesus. He had his head hung down low. His spirit was sad and weary. You know, some of you looking like that today. His face cold and motionless, closed and mysterious. He was hardly even smiling. I want you to know there's nothing like the look in the eyes of a man who is without hope. Nothing like it. This man at the pool of Bethesda was one of many whose heart was gripped by misery, and he sat there all day long, occasionally lifting his head. Oh, brothers and sisters, he was overwhelmed by his sense of despair. He was broken in heart. He was lonely in spirit. Anybody lonely here this morning? This man's case captured the attention of Jesus. And Jesus fastened his eyes on this man who seemed discouraged and ready to give up. And this man's condition, though draped in gloom and sadness, he earned the notice of Jesus. Perhaps it was the depth of his despair, the intensity of his discouragement. I don't know. All I know is that he was now looking into the very eyes of the supreme monarch of the universe. Now remember, Jesus saw this man before he saw Jesus. I like that. As he lay there, he was enveloped, this man, by the shadow of this mighty presence. And suddenly Jesus spoke to him saying, "Do you want to be whole?" That voice that spoke to that broken man that day sounded like 1,000 choirs singing from heaven. Sounded like music to his soul. Do you want to be made whole? Suddenly, hope sprang anew within his breast, but just as quickly as it sprang up, it died again. Could this man looking at me, thought this paralytic, be playing with my emotions? He must know that I've been like this for 38 years. Maybe he doesn't know how long and how hard I've tried to rise from this prison house of paralysis. Maybe he doesn't know that for 38 years I've dragged myself to this pool only to have my hopes dashed and dashed again. He must be able to see that it is always somebody else who comes up with the testimony. I know he knows that. Could he be playing with me? Brothers and sisters, you know, we are often skeptical and sometimes even afraid when our health is at stake. We don't even like to go to the doctors. Help me, Lord. Some folks don't even like to go to the dentist. We always want to know that we are in the hands of a physician we can trust. How many of you are like that? I read a story the other day of a hospital administrator who was startled because as he was walking down the hall, he saw a patient running down the hall out of the operating room. Are you with me today? His gown was flapping in the breeze behind him, and he stopped the patient. He said, wait, tell me, why are you running away from the operating room? The patient looked up and said, it was because of what the nurse said. He said, well, what did she say? He said, she said, be brave, and appendectomy is quite simple. Well, that's true, said the hospital administrator. It is simple, but she wasn't talking to me, said the patient. She was talking to the doctor. We're all afraid when it comes to our health. We all want to know that we are in the hands of a physician we can trust. Amen? I don't know about you, but I know I'm like that. Jesus said to the paralytic, I know what you're thinking, but I'm asking you, do you want to be whole? Thank you, Jesus. If you do, rise up and walk. That man closed his eyes, said a prayer. He must have prayed something like this. Lord, I know you can. If you will. That's a prayer I heard from an old black man years ago. Lord, I know you can if you will. If you want to, I know you can. Are you with me today? Servant of the Lord said that instantly that man felt his knotted knees begin to straighten out. He felt his limbs responding to a divine and sacred impulse. He felt his limbs begin to surrender to the thoughts that came to his brain. And that moment he surrendered, listen, he surrendered his will to the command of Christ. And in the moment that he surrendered his will to the command of Christ, he sprang up. Some time ago, when studying this incident, some school children in a church school were asked what they thought about Christ performing this miracle on the Sabbath. One boy said, well, since the man had been like that for 38 years, he could have waited one more day. Another said, well, it would have saved Jesus a lot of trouble if he just waited and deferred the healing and the cure for the next day. A third young man said, but there was no infringement of the Sabbath law because the act of healing didn't involve any manual operation. He didn't have to use his hands or touch him or anything. Finally, the discussion was broken by the question of a blind boy in the class who simply said, what would you have preferred if you had the withered hand? We always think we know what's best for people from the outside looking in. We don't put ourselves in their shoes. Brothers and sisters, after the poor man at the pool of Bethesda received power from Christ to take up his bed, John said he was found in the temple later on, praising the Lord, giving thanks for his goodness, testifying. I want to read something for you from the Desire of Ages, page 203. Listen, put your will on the side of Christ. Will, you know what that means? Will, your power of choice, put it on the side of Christ. You want to see a miracle? Put your will on the side of God's will. Whatever may be the evil practice, some people under the sound of my voice today are wrestling with habits that they can't seem to break. And it's only because you don't put your will in the hands of Christ. If you give your will to God, let me say it this way. You will never break a habit if you don't give your will to Christ. Amen. You will never break a habit. Put your will on the side of Christ. Listen to what she says. Whatever may be the evil practice, the master passion, which through long indulgence, even if you've been doing it for a long time, hallelujah, that ought to be good news for somebody today. Even if you've been doing it for a long time, Christ is able. Hallelujah. And he longs to deliver you. He will give life to the soul that is dead in trespasses and sins. He will set you free from the chains of sin. I read of a man who told of how when he and his wife were driving, what I'm trying to say to you is that your will united with the will of God will triumph. When others fail, you will succeed when your will is united to the will of Christ. Because I know you can if you will. I read of a man who told her how when he and his wife were driving through Oregon with his little daughter, Susan, she developed a fever the night before, and they were staying in a motel, and things suddenly became serious. The little girl went into convulsions, and her eyes turned up, her body began to jerk. She was in great danger. This man grabbed his little daughter, threw her in the car, and he drove down as far as he could to a farmhouse. This was a little motel, and all it had was showers in it. And he wanted to get a tub, and he knocked on the door. When the woman opened, he cried out, "My daughter is very sick. She's in convulsions. Do you have a bathtub where we can put her in some warm water?" The lady was so taken back, she hardly knew what to say, and she motioned, "It's down this way." Without waiting for any word, this man pushed the front door open, went down the hall, started running water in the tub, called a doctor, arranged to take his daughter for an examination, and as that girl was sitting in that tub, that fever began to go down. It wasn't until later that he found out that he was way out in the wilderness, and this family was the only family that had a tub. My God, when you put your will in the hands of the will of Christ, he does miracles. You will not fail. Others will succeed, but you will triumph, brothers and sisters. You know, I want to read you something else from the servant of the Lord. Friends, listen carefully. When it comes to salvation, it is not the prayer of merit, but the prayer of need that gets the attention of Jesus. That paralytic sitting there, he didn't get the attention of Jesus because of some great thing that he had done. It was just because of need. And I want to give you one of my most favorite chapters in the Spirit of Prophecy, Desire of Ages, page 300. Listen to the essence of it. It says that from the soul that feels his need of God, God holds back nothing. From the soul that feels their need of God. If you walk around and you have no feeling of need, God can't give you anything. It was that paralytic's sense of need that recommended him. From the soul that feels his need of God, God holds back nothing. Amen. To that soul, God gives unrestricted access to his throne. We've gathered here this morning. We look nice. We're all dressed up. But behind those happy Sabbaths, behind those praise the Lords, we are all paralytics, wrestling with something. Behind those smiles, we too are a congregation of crippled folk. Halt, lame, we're crippled by our fears and our faults. We're crippled by our own failings, our wretchedness. We are crippled by our own guilt and shame. I heard a man talking just yesterday. He's a physician. He said, but I grew up in a critical home. Everything my mama and daddy said to me was only critical of me. And even though I'm a doctor, I'm an old man, this thing still plagues me. He's crippled emotionally because of the negativity that he had in his religious home. We've come to this house today, and I just want to say before I close this sermon, let the word go forth that if you fast and pray and come to the porches at Seabrook, and you just wait a while, and you fast and pray, God troubles the waters here. He comes along, and listen, the Lord impressed me to do something. If you don't realize how God has been moving through this congregation, touching and changing and healing the lives of people. Thank you, Lord. Now, if he has healed you, if he has touched you and blessed you, I want you to have the courage to stand this morning. If God has, look at how he has moved through this congregation. He has touched you. He has healed you. You ought to say praise him this morning. Praise him today. This is how Jesus has been moving at this church. He's come through down the aisles and touched you, lifted you. Be seated. A poet and an artist were looking at a painting one day. And the painting was about the healing of the two blind men at Jericho. The artist asked, "What seems to you to be the most remarkable thing about this painting?" The poet said, "Everything is clear in this painting. I could see the groupings of the individuals and the expression on their faces. It's so clear." "Well," said the artist, "I see something else." And then he pointed to the steps of a house in the corner of the picture. "Do you see that?" said the artist. "Do you see that cane all by itself lying there?" "What does it mean?" said the poet. "Listen, it means that that blind man who was rushed to Jesus was so sure that Christ was able that he left his cane." So sure that all you got to do is give him your will and you'll see a miracle. So sure. Today, whatever your doubt is, I want you to leave it today. God said to call you. Whatever your doubt is, whatever your fear is, whatever your cane is, whatever your crutch is, whatever is holding you back from doing all that God has called you to do, to be all that God has called you to be, by faith, lay it down. You saw how he's been moving in this church. Now he wants to come by your house. He wants to look into your eyes. And he wants to say to you, "Are you ready to be made whole?"
I hope this message has been a blessing to you and your entire family. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the church office, the Seabrook Seventh-day Adventist Church office, at 301-577-6342. You'll want to ask for program number 104. Until next time, remember John 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life."
What's in your heart?